All right, welcome to the Average Saint podcast, where we help the average saint live out their extraordinary calling in Jesus Christ. My name is Jason. I am the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church in Edmonton. And today we're going to be looking at the topic of faith at work. Who we are as disciples of Jesus influences every sphere of our lives. Our life in Christ is to color what we do and say with faith, hope, and love. All Christians are really called by God to live out their priesthood as believers in all spheres of life. However, too often people fall into a prevalent misconception, a divide between the sacred and the secular in their walk with Jesus. And they think and act as though their work was somehow separate from their identity in Jesus. But this doesn't fit with a biblical worldview or the gospel. Jesus, the Son of God, is the risen and ascended Lord of heaven and earth. And as such, every sphere of our lives, of reality really, is under him, including our work. So how should our faith influence our work? This is the first of a mini-series of Faith at Work, where we're going to be discussing this issue with average saints. And joining me today are two wonderful young professionals, Jason and Kiana. Both serve as RNs. Jason works in oncology, while Kiana works in neonatal intensive care. These two are actually getting married in a few weeks, but have taken time out of their busy schedule to discuss this important topic of faith at work. So Jay, Kiana, thank you for joining me tonight. How are you guys doing?
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Oh, well, I'm excited that you guys are here. So how's wedding planning going?
Wedding planning is ever-changing, but it's actually going quite well.
Good.
My wedding dress, which was lost in the mail, arrived today.
Oh, man.
So we have lots to rejoice in. And even though lots of plans have changed, God has really been faithful to give us peace and joy in the new plans that he's making for us. So we're really excited. We only have 3 more weeks and then we'll be married.
Amen. So. That is awesome. Are you excited, Jay?
I'm very excited, yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm feeling more ready every day, yeah.
That's good. Okay, so first things first, how did you guys decide on nursing? And was your identity in Jesus wrapped up in that at all? Jay, do you want to go first?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think for me in grade, coming to grade 12, I knew I wanted to pursue a professional career. I didn't know in what. And I somehow ended up in nursing. But looking back, I think the two things that really led me there was, first of all, the desires God gave me. Mm-hmm. I really am fascinated by human anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology. And I just love learning more about the human body and how it works and really God's creation in that.
Very good.
And I also had the desire to help people. I wanted a career where I really felt tangibly like I was helping people, especially vulnerable people in vulnerable moments. And so I think that was the first thing. And the second thing is looking at like the gifts God had given me. I think I do good at communicating with people in difficult circumstances. I think I can be very compassionate and very tender with people. And I think also with the nursing aspect too, of just, it can be very difficult at times with time management. And I like to think that I'm okay at that.
Timely.
So passions and gifts united to point you in this direction.
Yeah.
Very good. That's excellent. Kiana, so how did you arrive in this sphere of work? Because it sounds intense, neonatal intensive care.
Yeah, my answer is going to sound like I'm copying Jason, but I promise I'm not.
Did you guys work on this together?
But for me as well, it was out of high school, just really wanting a profession that would combine my love for people and my love for science in a really tangible way. Another thing that really drew me to nursing is how practically useful it can be in ministry, in missions, thinking down the road of desiring to have a family and it being a really flexible career.
Right.
But specific to neonatal intensive care, so for those of you that don't know what that is, working with sick and premature babies.
Wow.
It was really a passion to walk with families in a really critical, beautiful, and difficult time in their life and be able to care for babies that at times can be very ill, but also be able to support a family unit during that time. And I've only been in NICU for about a year and a half, and I've loved every minute of it so far.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. So you have really found your niche and your gift, because I know some folks would not be able to even emotionally handle that. I mean, dealing with little babies who are dreadfully ill, and then the family dynamic that goes along with that. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad you guys are both in nursing. So how now does your identity in Christ affect your work?
Well, we were just kind of thinking this through together before, and there's so many things that we could say, because our identity in Christ affects like everything we do.
But that's one of the good things, answer.
Yeah, there we go. I think one of them is just like understanding the idea that we can love people and we can care for people and have compassion for people because God has done that for us. And then understanding that, yeah, God, because God has loved us and cared for us and had compassion and mercy on us, even when we have been difficult, and some of my patients can be difficult sometimes too. So I think just understanding that helps you to really care for other people.
Oh,
actually,
true.
One thing that I love that Kiana had encouraged me with, I was kind of feeling down. I was feeling tapped out, like I had nothing left to give. But Kiana was just encouraging me that, like, in those moments when you have nothing left to give, like, tap into that fountain of love and compassion that never runs dry, and that's God's love.
Right.
And and just taking that love and being able to use it for people, that's been really helpful.
That's wonderful. So love of God manifested in a very practical way, mm-hmm, through your vocation. Mm-hmm. And then when you come to your limits, realizing that it's actually, you end up being a conduit for the expression of God's love to others. I appreciate what you said about just understanding that, you know, some patients, hopefully they're not listening, but some patients can be difficult, and yet God still shows us compassion when we're difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all of life. And yet, so this is forming in you some of the character of Christ as well, even in your work. That's wonderful. That's great insight. That's good. Kiana, how about you? How does your identity in Christ affect your work?
Yeah, well, going off of that, of just loving and respecting every patient that we come in contact with, something that I think is so wonderful and amazing about nursing is that the foundation of nursing is inherently Christian.
And tell me about
a lot
that.
Of people actually don't know this, but nursing was actually founded by a branch of the church to be a ministry of the church. And everything we do in nursing, I really think, is assuming a Christian worldview.
Interesting.
Just as an example, in the Canadian Nurses Association Code of Ethics, one of our big principles that we have to uphold is honoring patient dignity. So it actually says in their ethical guidelines that nurses must recognize and respect the intrinsic worth of each person.
Whoa.
Which almost spells out completely the idea of the image of God being imprinted on every person and their inherent worth from that.
I can't believe that's in there.
And so it's awesome to be a Christian nurse. And I think our identity shines through in that everything we're doing is based on our patients, our coworkers, and the people around us being made in God's image. So whether they're, you know, in a vulnerable position, whether we want to make sure we're upholding their privacy and respecting them when they're at their worst or their best, that all comes from seeing other people being made in God's image.
Right.
And then, as Jason said, being a channel of God's love and grace to that person.
That's incredible. Would you guys be at liberty to discuss, without names, but a specific example of like where that happened? Like where you got a chance to show compassion even though you were just done? And where you had a chance to say, that guy is being cantankerous, but he's still an image bearer of God. Like, can you guys give me an example of that? Do you have one?
When the babies won't stop crying. I'm just kidding. My patients are too cute, so I don't really deal with the grumpy patients as much.
Kiana has an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I have an unfair advantage. But I would just say, actually, recently, maybe as an example, with the COVID-19 restrictions, obviously visiting has been very restricted in hospitals. And so that's been really difficult for our patients' families.
Right.
Particularly in my sitting, only having a mom or dad be able to visit their baby at a time.
Wow.
And so there have been a lot of opportunities actually to show compassion in a maybe more intimate way, as we've really been the patient's entire support system while they can't have anyone else in hospital. And by patient, I mean most of the time a mom who's there with her sick baby.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, there have been some neat opportunities lately to just really grieve with and encourage those moms who are in a really difficult time.
Wow, that's incredible.
And I think with me, I think I try to incorporate that into like every care I do. And how I like to think about it too is we're with patients in very vulnerable moments, right? Like patients that can't do daily tasks of living that we can do ourselves. And some of them are really distressing for those patients. And so I try to really in those moments, maybe cleaning them up or giving them a bed bath or something like that in those moments, to not see it as more of a task, but see it as an opportunity to uphold their dignity, to talk with them, to show, just show them that like I respect them as an individual. And I've got a lot of good feedback from that. Also, it's nice to see sometimes like the more difficult patients, when you actually go in there and you just show them kindness and you show them respect, even if they aren't showing you that initially, how after time you build a relationship with them where then they start to
soften.
Yeah, they start to soften and they start to be more vulnerable with you, because often that's the case, is that they're being difficult because they're going through such right. difficult circumstances.
Right.
And just how the kindness can really help them right. Process that better.
That's fantastic. So in enduring a bit of aggression, you're able to actually bring them to a place where they can just sort of settle in and receive the care that they actually need.
Yeah.
I got to confess, if I was under your care, I'd probably be a bad patient. I'd probably be kicking and screaming all the way. So
let's hope that's not the case.
Yeah, let's hope I don't get there. But. So... In being a Christian in the workplace, what has been, especially obviously as nurses here, what has been the most challenging part of being a Christian as a nurse? So you've given some great examples here about drawing off the image-bearing qualities of God in every one of your patients, no matter how old, how sick, how cantankerous. But what have been some of the areas where, as a nurse, you're like, wow, as a Christian, this is hard to walk through?
Mm-hmm. I can start with that one. I think personally the most difficult part for me, and I'll confess that I'm a very new nurse, all things considering. I often say I'm a baby nurse in more than one way because I've just started out in my career. But I think so far the most difficult part for me has just been being confronted with pain and suffering and sickness and death all the time. And as a Christian, I think one way to look at that is that nursing really as a profession is completely a result of the fall.
Wow.
We're dealing with the results of sin in people's lives, but also just in sickness and death all the time.
Right.
And our entire job is alleviating some of that suffering and cleaning up some of that mess. But I've definitely had periods where I've felt overwhelmed by seeing that so continuously, seeing people in really dark moments themselves, and then also seeing some really tragic situations with, I think especially for me, seeing that with children has been really difficult.
Oh boy, yes.
And so one thing that Jason and I have kind of talked a lot about is that in seeing all of this sickness and disease all the time, we can be led to compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. And so the remedy of feeling overwhelmed by that suffering is relying on God's mercy, which is new every morning.
Mm.
And the Lord, who does not grow weary of being compassionate and who sees our suffering, and his mercy is boundless and never ending.
Right.
And then at the same time, longing for that day when we're put out of a job and when there isn't going to be sorrow and death anymore. But that's been the most difficult Amen. Part for me, for sure.
Amen.
And to add to that too, about seeing sickness and death and really suffering and how that can be very difficult, I think it's really difficult too to not become hardened and to not and to cope with that properly, because it's difficult for all people,
right,
to see that. But then I think over time people come up with coping mechanisms to help them deal with what they see,
right?
And some of those are very unhealthy, and right, I think
just bury it.
Yeah, bury it. And I see that in a lot of maybe of the older generations or people that have been a nurse for a really long time. It's almost become hard and have lost that compassion or even that aspect of sadness around death and dying. And so like one of the things that we're called to do as Christians is to mourn with hope, right? And so like, although, yeah, like Jesus wept at Lazarus' death, right? Like about being saddened about death, right, and being sad about suffering and that is a reality. Right. But at the same time, understanding the hope of that, God will restore things, right? And but it's hard because you're being vulnerable then because you're letting yourself be saddened so often, especially in my line of work. I see death and suffering on a daily basis, right? So seeing that, it's hard to become hardened.
No kidding. And, you know, a lot of folks, I mean, I don't want to compare grief or stories, but when we talk about living in a fallen world, a lot of folks live on, I guess, the high orbit of that reality. You know, they'll get sick every once in a while. There'll be a car accident once in a while. There'll be something once in a while. But for you guys, it's 50 hours a week that you're looking at this in the face of the effects of a fallen world. And yet there's great encouragement, as you said, that you actually get to clean up a little bit of the mess in being the hands and feet of Jesus, knowing that eventually he's really going to clean up the mess in the new heavens and new earth. Thanks for sharing that. I think anybody in the helping healing profession can feel that hardening. I know even as a pastor, I have as well too. So let me ask you guys this question. How do you guys then renew yourself in Christ when you're feeling that's it, man? Like, the soul is scraping the bottom of the barrel here. You said a couple things. The hope of the future, where you're put out of a job for good reason, because there's no more mourning anymore, crying or pain. And you mentioned something as well, Jay, about the full humanity of Jesus actually grieving at Lazarus' death, which is such a beautiful picture because he's there. Clearly, Jesus is surrounded by sickness and death and demons, like his whole ministry, well, his whole life and his whole ministry. And he knows he's going to raise Lazarus. So it's not as if he's just shrugging it off his shoulders and say, whatever, this is no big deal. He's coming back. He's grieving at the very fact that he's died, which is an expression of his full humanity. And I think, so you got the humanity of Jesus, you got the future hope. Mm-hmm. What do you guys do to renew yourself?
I think another one, and it might be obvious, but like attending to the physical needs too, because you're
going to sleep.
Yeah, go to sleep. Sometimes that's what you need to do, right?
Amen. Amen.
Because especially when you're working like shift work, and then you have your own personal life that you're trying to organize, and then that can all add up. And then you're probably not eating well. You're not drinking well either if it's a busy shift. So attending to that as well, I think that's a good thing to do.
That is such a spiritual response.
Yeah.
Just go for a nap.
Yeah.
But I hear you. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I think something for me that's been really helpful is actually connecting with other fellow saints who have been walking on the road a little bit longer than I have.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Connecting with other Christian nurses. There's one in particular that I remember meeting with after experiencing a really traumatic situation at work, and just being able to have someone who has already walked through that 10 times over be able to grieve with you and pray with you and encourage you and have that encouragement and solidarity of someone else who understands what that's been like. So I think for both of us, just connecting with other Christian nurses has been an encouragement, and sort of the opposite of, I think the temptation of some of our colleagues to cope, whether it's with just being hardened or with drinking or with a negative attitude or gossip or whatever it might be, to instead be in community with Christians who are trying to navigate it with God's help together.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fellowship with other believers, mentorship, in a sense, with people who are a little further down the line, attending to the basic physical needs, those are huge. That's wonderful. And obviously the future hope that's in Christ and looking at the very humanity of Jesus as our example. Okay, so what then, I just asked you about the most challenging part. What has been the most encouraging, helpful part of being a Christian as a nurse? The secret superpower.
Well, I think what's really encouraging about being Christian and believing the gospel is it kind of gives you a framework for understanding what you see.
Uh-huh.
So like the whole, I kind of referenced it to before, but like when you're seeing the sickness and suffering, you see that like God made the world and created us and it was good without that.
Right.
But then it was sin that brought us back into that. So it wasn't. And then you know that God's going to restore all things and again, remove that. And so like God's ultimate desire for us is to or in the future to be like to restore us.
Right.
So it just helps us to understand that, understand difficult situations.
So even the darkest thing that you see is not final.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's good saying.
That's good. Yeah. Because in the midst of it, it sure must feel as if, wow, like this looks like it's swallowing up all hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even understanding that a good and loving God is involved, right? Maybe it's sometimes hard to reconcile that. And I've even had to battle that in myself, right? And think through that and pray about that. But then just trusting that, like, although what I see, I cannot fully understand, I know God is good because he's shown that through Christ, right? Like he died, like he sent Christ to die for me. So obviously God is good and he cares and he's involved. Yeah, and just understanding that. And even our own eternal hope. I had one coworker once say to me after we had to do post-mortem care, which is taking care of the body of someone who's died.
Oh, boy.
And I remember after she was just saying, like, I have no way to understand this. Like, they're here one day and then they're gone. And she just didn't. Like she admitted that she had her worldview could not account for what she had just experienced because the patient was a long-term patient, and we had all grown pretty dear to that patient. But then I'm just so grateful that I'm able to look at that, and it's a really sad situation, but still understanding that there is a good and loving God out there.
Right. That's incredible. So actually having a framework of faith that makes sense of both the external and the internal world that you're experiencing in the midst of sickness and death and suffering. That's awesome. Kiana.
Yeah. Kind of going off of that, I would just say, the most encouraging thing to me as a Christian nurse is thinking about Christ's supremacy over healthcare and even over the human body. That, you know, when we listen with our stethoscopes every day to our patients' hearts, when we assess them, that it's by Christ's power that their heart beats. And although God has given so much common grace through medicine and through nursing and through so many wonderful treatments that weren't available in years past, that at the end of the day, it's not our medical triumph or failure. It's Christ's sovereignty that causes someone to live or die.
Amen.
And something I've observed sort of in the culture of healthcare that I found really interesting is that in a lot of ways, it is very much a culture of pride.
Interesting.
In that people take a lot of pride in what they do.
Right, right.
But with that culture of pride and sort of competition, there's also a lot of anxiety because if your identity is not in Christ, but in being a nurse or in being a surgeon or in being a healthcare aide, whatever it might be, you know, your successes give you pride, but at the same time, your mistakes crush you.
Oof.
Because if you're the one that's responsible for that patient living or dying and you make a medication error, which in nursing, it's not a question of if it will happen, but of when, unfortunately. And obviously we do everything we can to prevent that. And it really is a nurse's worst nightmare to accidentally harm a patient through something like giving an incorrect dose or the wrong medication. But if it's, you know, the entire healthcare system is just based on what you do and Christ isn't sovereign over all, but you're in a sense sovereign over that person's health outcomes and you make a mistake.
Right.
That's despairing. That's crushing.
And, no kidding.
I think it's no coincidence that things like depression and suicide rates and divorce are higher among people that work in the healthcare field.
Oh, I didn't realize it.
But as a Christian, if you know, if your treatment succeeds, it's to the praise of God's glory.
Amen.
And if you make a mistake, as painful as that is, it's not outside of God's sovereign control.
Amen.
And that just gives so much peace.
Amen.
And takes away those extremes of pride or anxiety. Amen. Just trusting that any, you know, all organ functioning, all disease processes, all treatment outcomes,
right,
are completely under the control of our good sovereign Lord. And Amen. We're blessed to be a part of the healing that God does through right. Us two people. But that at the end of the day, it's God that is the author of life and right. yeah, the decider of how long or short anyone's life might be.
Amen. And that must give you tremendous freedom to be able to work as hard as you possibly can and as skillful as you possibly can, but at the same time, not be wrapped up in whatever the outcome is. Mm-hmm. And then your sanity is preserved mm-hmm. in the midst of what could make you less sane. That's really good. That's wonderful. Okay, so if there's a young nurse out there who's a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, and they're about to start off their fields, their run in nursing, what words of wisdom would you have for them as saints that are a little older and a little longer down the journey? What would you say?
I would say, first off, tap into the fountain of unending compassion, like I was talking about before, like through prayer, through scripture, through fellowship with the saints. Like that's just so needed.
Good.
You need that input. And you need that that communion with God to Amen. really be able to to process what you see
right.
and to be a good nurse, the best nurse you can be.
Right, yeah. right. That's wonderful. And I guess that would take obviously some not just discipline but some planning because of your schedule being so volatile, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to really be intentional about it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. And I'll make a shameless plug here. So one way that you could seek mentorship from other Christian nurses, if you happen to be a nursing student, is through the Fellowship of Christian Nursing Students.
Oh, good.
Which is a group that Jason and I were a part of when we were nursing students at the U of A.
Okay.
And the whole purpose of that club, which is still alive and well today, is to connect Christian nursing students with other believers, including practicing Christian nurses, to get that mentorship and support.
That's fantastic.
So that was something that was really helpful to us as students.
So that's fellowshipofchristiannurses.com.ca. How do you get there?
Fellowship of Christian Nursing Students.
Students. Okay.
Right now, the best way to probably find that would be through Facebook or Instagram.
Okay. Wonderful. That's excellent. Jay and Kiana, this has been a joy. I'm excited for you guys in your future together as a married couple, as well as your future in nursing. And if I was ever sick, I hope I'm under your care. Or if my children are ever sick, I hope they're under your care. Thanks, guys. So as always, for our listeners, if you guys got more questions, feel free to email us at questions@fellowshipedmonton.com. You can follow us on Instagram or on Facebook at Fellowship Edmonton. And until next time, this is The Average Saint signing off.